Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are about to share the word of God within ourselves. Beyond the human, we ask that the Spirit speak life in Jesus' name. That everyone that is here, no one will go the way they have come. In the name of Jesus. The power of the word, that I might know him. Lord, the power of the word, who is Jesus, reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Let the revelation come afresh that will drive us to do the things that we ought to do as Christians in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Praise the Lord. As I was saying, we will be on a journey of discipleship. We'll be teaching, and the message will be based on discipleship, how to live a disciple's life. The first part of this series, the topic for today would be, what then is my gain? What then is my gain? That is the topic of today. What then is my gain? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We'll be reading from verse 18 to 23. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. From verse 18 to 23. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thee good? None is good, save one, that is God." Verse 20. "Thou knowest the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Verse 21. And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Let's go on, verse 22. "Now then," Jesus heard this, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Then he said, "Come and follow me." Let's go on, 23. And when he heard this, the young ruler was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Let's carry on. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard shall it be for riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Verse 25. "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." 26. And they that heard this said, "Who then can be saved?" 27. And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." 28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." 29. And he said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left out parents, brethren, wife, or children for the kingdom of God, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come in the everlasting." Praise God. I'll leave. We'll stop at verse 30 for today. The question from verse 26 and 27 to 28 is the key for emphasis. He said, those who heard what Jesus said, "Who then can be saved?" Then Jesus replied, "Things that are impossible with people is possible with who? With God." Then Peter now said something. "We have left everything so that we can follow you. What then is our gain? What then
is it for us?
Every man, everybody, you know, starts a business or starts a venture believing that there will be a profiting for the person. Nobody goes into a venture without thinking of what is it that I will gain from this thing. You know, we all go to work today, we start businesses today because we have we know that at the end of the week or at the end of the month, there will be something paid to us to meet our own needs. Now, Peter asked that question there already, that what then is it going to be in this for me, in this for us? We that we left everything for you, God. We left everything to be your disciples, Jesus. And that was where we coined out the topic for today, that what then is in it for us? What then is my gain? Because we can ask that question. We're talking about living the life of a disciple. What then is our gain? What is it? What is in it for us? So I tried to coin this out from the fact that nobody goes into a venture. Nobody goes into a venture without looking at what the gain is going to be for them. We can see that in the book of Luke chapter 14. Just to help us broaden our horizon. Luke chapter 14 verse 28. In verse 28 it says, suppose someone wants to build a tower. Won't he first sit down and figure out how much it will cost? Then we will see whether he has enough money to finish it. Nobody starts a venture. Discipleship itself is a venture. Being a disciple, wanting to live the life of a disciple, it's a venture. I would definitely advise then, you should sit down and ask yourself, what then is in it for me? What then is the gain of being a disciple? Because it's not, nobody wants to waste time. Oh, am I going into a business? Am I going into this big kingdom business for fun? What is in it for me? Is there any benefit for me? So today we want to see, as a part one, what have I to gain? According to this story that we have seen, this young ruler was very rich. The young ruler is a rich man. And because of his educational understanding, young means he was not old. Young, in this fact, it means he was not just a Pharisee or he was not just a Sadducee. He won't be a king. But he is someone that lives in the that manages the affairs of the temple. He is a leader because of his great wealth. And he said, I am doing everything that I can do. And because of this doing, he has been given that title as a ruler in the temple. He wasn't a king, but he is more like a manager that rules the affairs of because of what he has to his name in prosperity. What other thing does this ruler have? Because as a Jew, he kept to all the things that could be kept to. He was pure by keeping to the law. That means nobody can say he has any fault. He said, I keep to the law. He said, I have done everything. He said, I'm keeping to the law. There is nothing I'm not doing. But he's still finding it difficult to know what he needs to do. He said, I'm doing everything. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't covet. I don't do anything wrong. But what is it that I need to do to get eternal life? It means that you can be doing something, but when you have that question, there is still something you need to do right. Because he knew, this young ruler knew something was missing. Now, the first thing I can say then, that he has come to a place of self-realization to say that something is missing. Now, for you to be a disciple, you need to have come to a place of salvation, a place of self-realization that something is not yet right. So, he has done a self-evaluation.
He has examined himself. And he came to that conclusion that I am poor in spirit. Praise the Lord. He has come to that conclusion that I am poor in spirit. What do I have to do? What do I have to do to get it right? Now, I can say that in the part of a part of Luke chapter 18, that the first part of this verse that we read, that Jesus might have been sarcastic to him by saying, oh, you know, Jesus looks at the genuinity of a man's heart. How genuine, how authentic is it that you really want to seek him? How genuine. Genuinity is key. So Jesus said, we can look at it again just to examine it quickly. Jesus now told him, he said, what can I do? And Jesus said, oh, you want to know what to do? Okay. I'm not good, but God is good. Because Jesus was trying to just push him to see how genuine he was in his request. He said, keep the commandment. Like a sarcastic answer. And he said, but I've kept the commandment, but I still don't know what it is that I have to do. Then Jesus gave him a very good answer. Depart from everything that you own and come and follow me. And that moment, the Bible made us to understand that this person grew very sad. Now, let's try and understand that he must have worked very hard to get all that he has gotten. But one thing he knew was that he is still missing the reality of God's presence. Despite doing everything that God, the commandment said, he is still missing that link. So as we said, the first thing is for us to find out ourselves. The first step to discipling ourselves, to get to a place of discipleship, is to come to a place of self-realization that something is missing. When we find out that something is missing, we then go and seek. The Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 says something. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. What does it say? When you come to a place of self-realization, you then begin to ask yourself a genuine question. What is it that I'm missing? And the Bible made us to understand in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 that if you ask, you will be given. He said, if you seek, you will find. He said, if you knock, it will be open unto you. Only seekers find. Only the people that seek find. Now, no matter what you seek, you will find something. If you seek something right, you will find the right. If you seek something wrong, you will find the wrong. So what I'm saying there in essence is, seek Jesus, seek something. So when you come to a place of self-realization, it's good to ask yourself that question. Seek. To seek the answer is to find the answer. When you ask yourself the question, it stirs up in your spirit the need to answer the question. You see, you can't have an unanswered question for so long. So when you ask yourself a question, you will definitely find an answer to it. So we said, first thing is seek, come to a place of self-realization, then seek an answer to your question, to that burning question in you. Let's examine Psalm 63 verse 1, just to help us to put into perspective what we're talking about. Psalm 63 verse 1. Psalm 63 verse 1. God, you are my God. I greatly long for you with all my heart. I thirst for you in this dry desert where there isn't any water. Now, we are talking about the Sabbath seeking for God. We are talking about the Sabbath seeking for God. When you seek an answer, you will find. When you seek an answer to a question, you will find. Now, the question is, what are you seeking? As a disciple, we need to understand that for us to get to a place of gain, for us to get to a place of reward, we need to have come to a place of realization and to seek an answer. Let's just go on and find out. What exactly is it in it for us to hear? You see, if you read the book, that same Luke chapter 18, you would find out that in Luke chapter 18, people that were around Jesus didn't really understand why it was difficult. Because they had done something. The disciples of Jesus then had done something. They had left all. So they were wondering, why is it then difficult for people to leave things? Because the ruler could not. And Jesus said, if the rich find it difficult like this, it's going to be difficult. Then Peter asked, then who then can be saved? But Jesus said, all things are possible. Those things that are impossible to men are possible to God. What are we saying in essence? Because we know that nothing is impossible for God. Because we know that nothing is impossible for God. Our reward, our gain, is not in the strength of man. Man cannot reward. It's a difficult thing for the man, the mentality of man, the belief system of man, to understand the depth of what God can do, except we are spiritually fine-tuned. So what we are saying in essence is only God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, can be and give us the answers to our question. Because nothing is impossible for God. Getting our reward, getting the gain that we are talking about, is not about physical accumulation. Getting the reward, getting the gain that we are talking about as a disciple, is not about physical. It's not about physical doing. It's about enablement in the spirit. Because we know that when we get connected to the source, we will find power to, and we'll be rewarded. Now, we were looking at, as we said, we're looking at what exactly is it that is the gain. What then is the gain? Because we have, it's a series that we're taking, Discipleship Lifestyle. What then is the gain? Is it possible for me then? Can I actually put my life in this venture of discipleship? Is it going to be easy to journey as a disciple? Is it going to be easy for me to take this step and walk with Christ? Yes, but not by our power, not by our strength. But what are those things that we need? One thing that I can show us from here now is that in the book of Luke chapter 18, from verse 18 that we read, we can see that the man was asking a question about eternal life. Now, the first thing I know that we can get from here is that we get the answers to internal questions. It means that we get internal life. It's so sure. Because he was looking for the way to inherit eternal life. So it means that the gain of working with Christ is eternal life. But eternal life, to us, could be a destination. How then do we have to get to that destination? In the book of Psalm chapter 51, verse 10 to 12, I'll just read this to us, and then we'll ponder on this. Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. It says, God, create a pure heart in me. Give me a new spirit that is faithful to you. It says, don't send me away from you. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Give back the joy that comes from being saved by you. It says, give me a spirit that obeys you, that will keep me from going. Then I will teach. Restore unto me the joy of salvation and uphold with me the spirit. The first step we said was self-realization, that there is a missing link. The second step in this journey of discipleship, understanding the gain in it for us is to ask the question so that we can get an answer. The next thing, as we've seen here, is that there is nothing that can tie us down if we carry on in the path. There's no way we can carry on in the path of uncleanness and expect ourselves to be able to gain anything. If you go down the book of Luke chapter 18, I just want to point out something there to us quickly. In the book of Luke chapter 18, that we read, our Bible text, in verse 23 to 30, Jesus said that you will gain manifold blessings even here. He said you will gain. If you keep going to 27, I think about 27, 28. Okay, verse 30 then. Let's see verse 30. And he said, You shall receive manifold blessings here. You shall receive manifold blessings. I'll read it from here, verse 30. And he said, what I'm about to tell you is true. And Jesus told them that if you have left everything for me, listen to this, then you will receive many times as much of what you left in this world. So is there gain in it for us? Yes. Can we get it by our power? No. What do we need to get it? We need to understand that we need to come to a place of realizing that there is a missing link. We need to find and ask the question that will help us to get the answer. We need to understand that we are called out of darkness into light, to live in cleanliness of heart, in purity of heart, with a new spirit. You see, God's operation, or well, I would say God's surgery that can be done into a man, is the surgery of rebuilding a man, coming, bringing a man of his death into newness. You do not have to struggle with addiction, with things, anger, with a dirty lifestyle anymore. Because the first thing it will do is it will bring us out of the old lifestyle into a new lifestyle. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians, sorry, verse 5:17. He was talking about the new nature, leaving all the things that are past and aiming for the new, for living the new life in Christ. As we round up, verse 30 is the answer. That you shall receive manifold more. 5:17. You shall receive manifold more in this generation, and you will also receive eternal life. So the gain for you today is beyond measure. The gain, what is the need for me? What gain is it for me? What gain is it for me? Can we just ponder over this thing and understand the gain that that is a need for us? The gain of new life. The gain of new life. The gain of a spirit that is beyond. The gain of a new spirit. The Holy Spirit. The gain of a new life. Coming out of death. Going into new life. Let's just ponder. Let's just spend time to meditate on this word. That Lord, create in me a new heart. Every of my struggles, I think I can attain these things by my power. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling with pain. I'm struggling with sorrow. I'm struggling with dryness in spirit. You know, you can feel that there is a missing link. Why not come to Jesus now? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why not just come to Him? Why not just come to Jesus, the one that can give you new life? He can give you a new heart. He can purge your heart. He can clean the debt out of your heart. And everything you're struggling with, he can take it away. Why not just come to him and just say, here I am before you. Lord, give me a pure heart, a new spirit that desires you more, that wants to walk in the path of disciple, as a disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we ask for an inside out cleaning process. We found out today that our gain is many. We will gain more here, and we will gain eternal life. We know that our old heart will be taken away and a new one given to us, a purged one. We know that. We now know that there is no condemnation for us anymore. So definitely, for us to go in this journey of a disciple, there is much to gain. Because we will gain eternal life. Because we would now gain many more of what we have left here. That we have left to follow you. We know. Father, we pray that you will work in our inside. And you will clean it all the way out. You will model us to follow the path of Jesus. You will model us to live a life of love. So shall it be in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying.